Welcome to the Spirit School of Ministry podcast, where we discuss discipleship in everyday life. One. Hey there, Bob right here, David way over on the right.
Hello.
And stuck in the middle is JT.
In the middle.
Jeremiah Tasco.
Yes.
A man, a myth, a legend.
More myth than anything.
I think you're okay.
Oh, yeah. Good company.
You guys famous are... Amos.
Famous? Mm.
Yeah. Amos who?
The man, the myth, the legend.
Stop it. I'm hungry now.
Oh, man. Well, you guys have talked me into discussing something that I mentioned during our encounter for our Spirit School of Ministry, and it just sort of came out, and I said, you know, sometimes you can turn affections into infections. Mm. And you all went, well, I know JT was like, oh, could be a t-shirt.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, really a t-shirt? So I didn't know where to go with it. So we just kicked it around and we're like, so let's discuss this.
Yeah.
Like, let's discuss what you think about, and I'm not going to do like a host, like, let's question JT.
Oh, no.
15 questions.
Well, I'll give a little context.
Yeah, go for it.
Pastor Bob was in the middle of delivering just an incredible talk, preaching to our students here at Spirit School of Ministry, because we just launched our new school year, which is going amazingly.
Yeah.
And he was teaching on identity, but then talking about how our identity can get mixed up with idols at times. And what happens with that is that an affection can turn into an infection. And I just thought it was like, I went, whoa, that's really good. So I don't know. How does that strike you, Dave? How did it strike you when you heard it?
Yeah, I mean, I always think it's important to realize that everything we do comes from our hearts and from our affections, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that really motivates a man or a woman is from desire, which we're actually wired to desire God. Mm. He's supposed to be our affection. He's supposed to be the image that we are putting before our minds. He's the sensory experience of beauty that transfigures us, you know. But what happens is we put our affections onto other things, you know, into things that are good. You know, it doesn't have to be. We talked about idols before, but when I start to put my affection on something that's a created thing rather than God, it's going to disorder my desires. It's going to actually put a disease into my way of thinking. It's going to infect my perspect, you know. Right, so we need to do another rhyme.
You're
there.
A rapper today.
We're all gonna be we're all gonna be southern preachers here.
Let me tell you about the infection and the affliction and the.
Yeah. We're gonna have merch sales after this episode.
No, but it's gonna have an effect, and it's gonna permeate our whole way we experience the world. Mm. What the God that you are leaning on is gonna affect how you perceive the world, and it will infect your experience of everything. I just read a sentence last night by this theologian, Jürgen Moltmann. I know Bob scared even saying that. he's a cool theologian, but he said, you know, your experience, if your God is mammon, your experience of the world is going to be way different than if your heart is set on the God whose kingdom belongs to the poor. You know, so if you're actually, man, I serve wealth, I serve prosperity. I serve the American dream. I serve my version of security or fame, whatever it is. It will color how I see every single person around me, every single relationship, every single thing in the universe. But and it'll turn it into a greedy, self-oriented perspective. But if my heart is set on the God who said, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, the God who will provide all things for me, you know, the God that makes me just filled with abundant life, I should have a different experience of everything. And that should also infect like a holy contagion, you know. It should affect my perspective there. So that was a few ways that my brain went on that.
But wow. You know, I want to bring this a little bit to the a deeper end of the swimming pool. He found this in theologians. But when I started thinking about affection, when we just talked about maybe doing this, I started thinking and I thought, well, in the word, you know, where does affection come up? Well, in its root, if you will, it has to do with your bowels, believe it or not.
Right.
Now, that sounds strange to most people, except that in the, you know, those of us who still sometimes read the old King James. There's this thing called bowels of mercy.
Right.
Right. Those are your affections.
Right.
Right. It's translated into affections in other translations. I think rightfully so, actually. And it's interesting to me because it's not just how you look at something, although it is that, like Pastor David mentioned. It's actually what's in you.
Right.
It's like, and that's why when I mentioned it's affection turning into an infection in your bowels. And so that your, like your gut, your, not just your physical, not just your physical body.
Right.
Like, I got a little, anyway, problem here. But
spiritual IBS.
IBS, yeah. Oh, ouchie.
that's he's brutal. S-I-B-S.
Sibs. Bro, are you suffering from sibs? Okay, we're going to have
Everybody's listening is running to the restroom right now. Okay, you guys.
We're going to also have tablets available with the merch online.
Not suppositories, though.
No, okay.
You know, I haven't been here with you guys talking for a while, and I see that we've gone off the deep end pretty good here.
You brought us to the deep end.
You wanted to go to the deep end of bowels.
I was at the deep end.
You said bowels. No one in here said bowels.
I knew I was skating on thin ice.
We are probing the bowels of your argument.
Yes.
Let's say guts.
But it is. But it is, in reality, our affection.
Yes.
It's, that's where it exists. It exists. It really exists in the root of who we actually are in Christ. And that's where, you know, we can lose sight of that. And I think Romans talks about this in certain chapters. And so does, you know, in the Old Testament talks about affections in certain ways. But all of them tend to, you know, it's interesting because it brings it to this, something that David mentioned. It brings it to an idol.
Right.
It brings it so that you take what should have been your natural affection, your the thing that, and I say natural supernaturally, like what God put in us, right?
Exactly.
Because he gave us a new spirit. What we should have is natural affection toward God's people, towards God even.
Yes.
We turn it to an idol. It's like so corrupted inside of us. I'm not saying you lose your salvation or anything like that, but it's, although I think when you see it in the world, because I think there's a substantial, you know, significant difference actually. Now you see that people who are in the world, their affections are really strange.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, Paul talks about turning natural affections and all that into things, but those are like things that should be in you, ingrained in you, and you're spoiling them. You're turning them.
Yes.
You're messing them up. And all of a sudden, like you're in your core, not only do you perceive things different, you actually live things different.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know what that means to you guys, but I just, you hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'm hearing that scripture. It says where where your treasure is, your heart will be also. So that, and the heart, we know when you define the soul, it's the seat of emotions.
Yes.
The will, it's the seat. It's central place. And
core.
It doesn't always say bowel. Sometimes it says like your guts. It's like, it's that inner man and where that inner man, the position of the inner man, I'll say it that way.
Right.
And, so often we are on that throne.
Yeah.
Self is there. And I was remembering the scripture that talks about, you know, in the last days there will be this and that, and there will be many who are lovers of self. And we become an idol unto ourself. And so we take up the seat of our affection because we love ourselves. Like we love ourselves at a level that's actually not good.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of self-love and promoted nowadays.
Right.
I get it. I get having a healthy self confidence and also, you know,
like an image of
you. And I know we live in a society today where a lot of people, you know, their self-talk is very, they're on themselves. They condemn themselves. Their own heart condemns them. But that's not, you know, the Lord is talking about us becoming selfless. And so we actually have to give up that seat. If we don't give up that seat of affection, then it becomes an infection.
Yes.
And now that infection is, it's an idol. It's completely fueled by a desire now for, like David was saying, either self-fulfillment, that could be physical, emotional, mental, spiritual, any of those aspects or all of those aspects.
Yes.
Or it could be external, which is things, places, people, you know, all kinds of strange different ways that that can come forth, of course, in the form of idols.
Yes. You know, it's funny when you talk about that, when we're talking about this, like the word that came to my mind, it's silly, but it's like, people do core training.
Yeah.
It's your core. It's who you are in your inner place and how you, and I'm not talking about your spirit here, because I don't believe your spirit can get corrupted if you're born a god. But you know, your the way you think, the way you start to your heart, the way your heart leans from your out of your innermost beings, flow rivers. Instead of the rivers, there's a infection flowing. It's not
sewage.
It's sewage. It's spoiling everything around it. So there is a sense of, for the people who are real athletic out there like you.
It's like, formerly known. That's the myth part.
That's the myth part. No, you're pretty strong. It's that core training. It's strengthening your core so that you can stand, so that you can operate, so you can, you can withstand things. And if and I believe in our affections, if they are in fact locked to our inner being, they dictate how strong you will be.
That's
to stand.
Interesting. Yeah.
David, what do you got? You got a theologian?
No, I'm taking it all in. You're because I'm thinking about the positives.
Yeah.
Of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
go ahead.
You think about Jesus, it said that he was moved with compassion and he healed the sick. He taught the people. He was God's affections were so great in him. And Paul also said, Philippians 1:9, I yearn for you with all the affection that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what I want to be. I think that's the message that I get from this, is like, the positive side of this, where we're supposed to be a flame. Like we're supposed to be on fire with God's nature, with God's affection, because God himself is a fire. You know, he is, I don't want to say pure passion, but he is always motivated. He's always going, I think when you have an idol in some sense, it always demotivates you spiritually. It always quenches. It always divides your focus. It always splits your mind, fractures your attention. Where God's calling us to this wholehearted faith, and it's not an intellectual faith. Intellectual work can kind of clear the obstacles that keep your heart from expressing. But the good news is what you guys are saying, that as a Christian, we've been given a whole new self. Paul said, put on the new self since you have put on the new self.
Right.
He's like, put the suit in your closet, put it on. Inherit everything that's in Christ and put it in practice. And I think it's important to live from the heart. It's important to not, try to avoid mistakes and just avoid ever offending anybody, avoid ever trampling on anything, avoid ever letting your real opinion or your real feelings be made known.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause it's not really political, is it?
No.
To live from your heart is not very political. It may not win friends and influence people all the time, but I think it moves the kingdom forward. I think it's when someone's really shining like a light, they're not going to do everything perfect, but at least they're going somewhere. At least they're alive.
Right. Well, at least you're alive. I think they're also genuine. They're godly genuine. Mm-hmm. They're not, it's not a fake thing in any way.
Right.
I had this one scripture I was kind of musing on this morning, considering, affection. And here's Paul in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 6. And he's talking to the Corinthians and he says, I've spoken to you openly. Our heart is wide open. This is an interesting thing he says here, because there's a problem with having the wrong affections. And he puts it this way: you are not restricted to by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Like, I'm not putting this clamp on your life. Your own affections are clamping you down. He goes on from here. It gets crazier, right? But the thing that struck me about this scripture was that many times when we're walking with Jesus in a church, like we should be, we will feel like other people, whether it's leadership, whether it's, the person you're married to, whether it's the person you're in ministry with, or, that kind of thing, like they're restricting where I can go. They're restricting my core. They're restricting who I am. And Paul's talking here and he goes, no, actually you're restricting who you know, where your effect. You're restricting where you can go,
right.
Not me. And it's interesting because he goes on there and he gets into the nuts and bolts after that, which gets a little crazy. He says, now I speak to you as children, to you as children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And so it's interesting where he goes for fellowship, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, what communion with light with darkness. It's interesting because now he's taking this thing, he's diagnosing your infection,
right?
Okay,
right.
And he's going, you think this is all just because of us externally doing this to you,
right?
This is something that people who walk with the Lord face all the time. By the way, they feel like their church, their thing, their boss, their people outside the church, the people in the world, they all are having this impact on me. So this turns my insides out. I allow my insides to be infected by this. And he's saying, when you're being unequally yoked with something that's unbelief, facing an unbeliever, it's not just a person. It's actually a set of principles. It's actually how you think. So you're somehow in your life, you are unequally yoking, attaching yourself to something that may look external initially, but it actually has to do with your affections. Yeah. It actually has to, it will affect or infect how your affections manifest.
Interesting.
It's a little crazy there, right? Did I lose everybody?
No, great, that one? That's a great,
it's really good.
Good
Bible teaching. I don't know.
I want you to keep going. Expositing. Do the whole chapter.
Okay. The whole,
keep expositing. It's really good what you're saying.
It's interesting. What I was seeing there as you're sharing that, Pastor Bob, was our affections are often looking for some form of affirmation. So if I'm going along and I've got friends in the world, as you were just kind of quoting out of the word there, and I come in alignment with their affections, because what it will grant to me is some form of acceptance.
Yeah.
I will feel accepted into their affection, both what they are loving.
Yes.
And then they'll accept me because they'll go, oh, you love that too.
Right.
Well, then we love you.
Yes.
Right.
It's external.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. But it starts internal. It's a strange internal magnet. So I just saw that, like, oh, wow, that could easily, that's why the word says, be not friends with the world. Right.
Right.
And he's really talking about, like, if you love the world,
right,
the love of the Father is not in you. Like, it's you're not allowing the love of the Father to develop, like what Pastor David was saying. And I wanted to say too, this is positive, even though it's positive news when somebody says, hey, here's the problem. Like, that's actually good news. I'd rather know that there's something, there's an infection, than to not know, right? And you're just slowly dying. It's good news. But then the really, really good news is that out of the goodness of the Father, he draws us to repentance.
Yes.
So what he does is he reminds us, this is back to that affection, affirmation thing. He reminds us of his affection for us, how much he loves us. He beckons us back by his love and says, look, I love you. I died for you. I'm going to help you with that.
Yes.
Just turn back to me. And when we set our affections on him, then what happens is that attraction, and it changes. And then we feel affirmed by him. We feel accepted by him. And the thing that we were really designed for, like David said right at the top of the podcast, we are designed for love. We're designed for God and his affection towards us. He designed us with the ability, just like he has, to be able to receive and to give. And so it's so cool, but the Lord does that so beautifully with mercy and his grace. He draws us back with cords of love, the Bible says. He does it out of his goodness, but he turns his affection towards us.
Yes.
First, and then attracts us back to him.
You know, I want to tie in what you were just saying with the suggestion that David made earlier when I was reading. He's like, hey, you should read the rest of that chapter.
And yes.
I'm going to read it. I'm going to throw it to you. I'm going to throw it to David.
Okay, do it.
It's interesting because he says after this, he says, but what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement, now this gets into the the idol stuff.
Yep.
What agreement has the temple of God, which we are,
right,
with idols?
Wow.
That is an agreement to have. And then it goes on, it says, for you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, and this is where that positive part comes.
Yes.
This is what God has said, and I hope someone's listening this out, you know, when they're listening to this podcast. This is what God is saying to you. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.
Yeah.
Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean, and I will revive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And this is not a separation like out of the world, like you can't be, I mean, sure, you know, Paul talks about that, right?
Right.
This is not you're in the world and not of it. Yes,
yes, yes. That's right.
It's not you're a nun.
Yes. Yeah.
No, it's
what's
talking
a male
about
nun.
What's that?
What's a male nun?
A monk.
Okay.
A monk,
yeah. You know, a nun,
a brother of the faith. You know, but I think that passage is really talking about ritual impurity in the temple, right? Okay. So he's like, you're partnering with these idols, you know, you're walking around in the world, you're getting this junk on you. It's like you're associating in the kingdom of death. If you're not taking time to experience the cleansing of God.
Yes.
I mean, it's interesting. In the temple system, there was cleansing for lepers. You know, there was cleansing for infections. It was like,
sure,
that's part of atonement. It makes a purging, you know?
Yeah.
So Jesus's blood continues to purge us from all impurity. That kind of dilutes our experience of God's presence. So he's like, look, I know this is getting a little technical, but it's, you know, the temple itself had to be purified. The altar had to be atoned for. Mm-hmm. The furniture had to be atoned for,
right?
Because it would build up on the temple. There was there's this buildup of junk that, like, God's still present. The Shekinah is still, the glory is still there. But you're like, he's like, hey guys, this is building up. You need atonement.
We need a cleansing.
We need to apply the blood. You know, we need to, you know, do those things. And the blood actually represented the life, not the death.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So basically it's coming back into contact, like you said, with God's love, with his life, with the blood that was shed on the cross, with the Holy Spirit and fire, the ultimate cleansing agent
that can
purify our life.
That's so good.
And you're just like, okay, God, I need that. I need that every day.
Yeah.
God, could you please search my affections? Could you separate me from any agreement and attachment was a great word that you used.
Right.
Show me any attachment where I no longer am yoked to you. I'm yoked to that person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm yoked to that ministry, you know, because like I minister with you guys, but the Lord would kind of say like, I'm not with you guys for God. I'm with God for you guys.
Right.
So if I get that backwards and I go, yeah, we're going to be together and we're really going to serve God. Well, then my affections are already divided from God. Where if I'm totally in God and I'm like, I'm totally complete, let me love these men and let us love people together, you know, as the extension of God's temple, as the extension of God's people.
I love that.
It's way different. Mm-hmm. And even in marriage, you're like, oh, I'm with my wife for God, for his kingdom. So,
no,
I'm with God for my wife.
Right.
Yeah.
For his kingdom.
The Bible actually speaks about that very directly.
And so you have to, it's might be a fine shade, but anything other than that will begin to be contagious, and it will begin to numb you. It'll begin to corrupt, begin to cloud. It'll begin to build up on your
know,
temple,
it's funny when you said that, when you were talking, you said that attachment, when you said it, I just got this picture immediately from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know, it's a boat and it had barnacles attached to it.
Mm.
The barnacles are not the boat.
Right.
The boat's separate, and they have to be removed, or they will corrupt the boat, And so without that, and so that attachment thing, and I think, you know, we're speaking also to people who are listening to this right now, that there are things that they've allowed attached to their lives, and the things that have drawn that attachment to them is their actual affections.
Yeah.
It's an internal thing, and their affections have kind of wooed those things into their life. And here in this scripture, at least, we're in Corinthians, God, you know, Paul's speaking about this. He's using very much the temple, right? They're talking about a physical temple that was actually still there.
Right.
And so they could see it, they understood it. And he, but our temple, who we actually are, we have to understand that our affections will woo to us different things.
Yes.
And so now we have to keep, we have to keep a handle on our affections, like where we allow our affections to go. And affections aren't all bad.
Right.
Oh. They're great, actually. Sure. Bowels of mercy.
Right.
You know, they're, those are wonderful things to have that for each other and for people in life. But are, do we allow our affections to go off on some strange tangent?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, what we see coming to us is all that unbelief, all that idol worship, all those things that he's talking about. Those are, you know, sometimes we can read over the scriptures and it's just right over us.
Right.
Meanwhile, he's talking about our life. He's talking about serious life. How we operate in life.
Yes.
And he's giving us actually in the middle of some of this metaphor and all this, he's giving us reality on how you live. This is how you live. You don't live just by accident. You must live intentionally, wooing to yourself those things that will not infect you.
That's so good. I remember in the class, the thing that hit, the image that hit me, I'm just remembering it now. The image that hit me, and to give an example of what you're just saying to Pastor Bob was, you know, it's not bad. God knows we need to go to work and we need to earn and we need, you know, we need to earn money. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
It's when the drive to earn, and even I would even say that some ambition and drive or affection to earn more or to do better or to grow, or that's all wonderful. There's generally speaking, not too much wrong with that. That's good. It's just when that affection becomes a driving, motivating, all-consuming force in your life that it then can turn into an infection.
Right.
And then we can then turn our affection towards the Lord, and what was an infection before can then go back to a properly placed affection.
Yes.
Because he knows about the desires in our heart. Many of them he's placed there. But he, just because he placed a desire in my heart to want to, you know, minister or see people dramatically healed, you know, in miracles and other things that God's put in there and put in you, you know, the listeners, and he's put things and desires and things that we're supposed to work towards. I would even say the word strive towards, because if he put it out there for us to go reach, we're supposed to go reach for it.
Yes.
But even that desire can become, that affection can become an infection.
Yes.
If all I do now is go, oh, well, I'm gifted in this and I'm supposed to be doing healing and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do this. And here's what all of I'm going to do for God.
Right.
And that was what David was talking about. It's the flip-flop.
Right.
Like, we're going to compile all this stuff and I'm doing this for God. And God's going, I do want you to do that, but I want you to do it in my timing, with my direction, with my, you know, and I'm going to give you wisdom and understanding and knowledge and be able to, you know, provide for that. However, you just decided to build your own golden calf.
Right.
And now you're going to do it the way you want. So what was an infection properly placed by the Spirit of God became an infection, because my heart turned. And what did I desire now? Well, I desired the prestige of it. I desired the power of it. I desired the preferential treatment or whatever, or even just my own pride, because I want to do this thing.
Absolutely. And I think you're hit it right on the head there. And I think also, you know, when you talk about your heart, you're not, I mean, God wants you to carry his heart.
Right.
Like, we're not just carrying our heart. We're carrying the heart of God, the Father, to people. And if we forget that, now that infection might be a heart infection.
Oof. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you're in a lot. Now you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. And you're
not
trouble.
Just, you're not just a little sick.
Right.
You're dying from this.
Right.
You know, you might be killing other people around you.
I think that infection there is actually ties back to something David said when he's saying we got to live from the heart. What I heard when you said live from the heart, it was like, oh yeah, live from the heart that is yielded to the Spirit.
Absolutely.
So the heart, our own, the seat of our will, the seat of our emotions, the seat of our intellect, that where we make decisions, that is us, our person.
Yes.
But that needs to be yielded to the Spirit within us. And when it is, then it will rightly align our affections and it will keep us from those becoming infections, or it will take us from a place of infection and it will clean us up, as you were saying.
Yeah, and pray a dangerous prayer, like Holy Spirit, have my whole heart.
Is that in the danger zone?
It is when you guys have.
Did we just go to? Did we just go to?
We just went Maverick. Yeah. We went Top Gun. Go ahead. Sorry.
No worries. Because the Lord is also a holy infection, and He's going to get all of you. That's what the 2 Corinthians 7. He's like, the Lord is a jealous God.
Right.
He doesn't share with Belial or with darkness or with the table of demons or anything else that Paul mentions.
Yeah.
His temple is His temple.
Yes.
And He will have all of it.
Right.
And so. Our job is to receive His infection until it colonizes our whole being.
Yeah.
You know, like all those, that's what an infection does. It tries to colonize the entire host, you know? Mm-hmm. So just allowing God's life to permeate through us will then permeate from us.
Yes.
You look at Jesus, He could touch a leper and He didn't get leprosy.
Right.
Right.
The leper got holy.
Yeah.
made whole.
Come on.
Right. Yeah. And so that's the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And
yes.
so, that is what we want to yield to. And maybe you guys have had the same experience, but as you walk more with God and you're like, man, I really want more of Him. And this is amazing. And I want to serve Him. Fantasy football isn't quite as interesting, being mad at some politician isn't quite as interesting as it was. You're like, someone's personal drama at work that they just want to tell you all about it. You're like, oh, okay. Why don't you make peace with that person? You know? And you're like, this isn't what's important. And you start to be totally infected
100%.
With peace, with the kingdom of peace.
I love that.
Yes.
And so that's what Paul's really saying is division is opposite of peace. And peace needs to be ruling. And if it's not, there's no peace to the wicked. Like the double-minded has no peace. You're tossed to and fro in the waves, right? And so what Paul's saying there is he's like, there's such a burning passion with such a peace.
Yeah.
And I want someone to hear that promise. Like in your life, maybe you feel... I have no peace. And somebody else says, I have no passion. You're talking about affection. I don't even have any affection.
Right.
I'd rather be infected and be an idol worshiper and be alive than be somebody that shut down my heart completely. And now I'm just totally quenched and I don't care anymore, and the Lord wants to minister to you to restore the joy of His salvation in your heart. Like He wants to restore that joy that comes from His unconditional love as your Father. And for the one that has been just torn apart by different passions, He goes, look, lay a few things down and settle in to the peace. Settle into the whole heart. Settle into my resting glory in the temple of your being.
Mm-hmm.
And so this speaks to anybody.
Yeah.
It's amazing how the Holy Spirit kind of inspires those scriptures.
I love
he was
it.
He's pretty good at that, it, wasn't he?
I was hearing with you, Dave. I'm right there. I sense that as well, that there's a stirring for our affections. And for those affections that have gone a little dormant, right? Like they're not infections, but they're just not fiery because we just start getting a little older and we start kind of getting used to things. And, it's common, right? In relationships. I've been married 17 years but there's moments where it's like, oh, this is getting a little dull. not my marriage, but like little moments. You're like, wow, we used to be really like fiery here. And like, it's dulled out a little. Why is that? Oh, well, because we haven't really spent good quality time together. And I just sense the Lord just beckoning us in, because anytime you need a refresh, really we shouldn't step out of it, but anytime you need a refresh or recharge, you go into Him.
Yeah.
You go into Him through Holy Spirit. That's the, I'm going to endorse Holy Spirit here in the praying in the Spirit, because I think that's an underutilized tool. That is, we need to pray in the Spirit. Use your heavenly prayer language, because it says what? It builds you up.
Right.
It builds you up. It will add new fire, new fervor, new, what is it? Effectual, right? The fervent and effectual prayer of a righteous man avails much. Well, that comes, that gets, it starts the bubbling up, if you will, when we pray in the Spirit.
Well, I think it's savory aroma.
Yeah.
Yes. I believe it is a, there's a contention there. There's a tension there, actually, for our affections.
Yes.
And we have to understand that. Yeah. It doesn't just go on autopilot. You know, it's like, you know, I remember a friend of mine once said he told his wife, you know, 40 years ago that he loved her. He says, if anything changes, I'll let you know. It's like, you can't.
That won't work, my friend.
Yeah, that's not going to work. That worked for about 3 minutes.
It works for about 40 minutes.
Then you're dead. You're done. You know? but the reality is that we have to contend for that place. And also, you know, we,
that's
you know, we're in the spirit, when we're especially praying in the spirit, we are contending.
Yeah.
For the faith. We are maybe the faith in us and just the faith. But there is a, it has to be understood that that's something you are leaning into
that's
intentionally.
Good.
It's not just going to fall on you.
Right.
Yes. The love of God was shed abroad in our hearts.
Right.
I get all that. It's true. It's absolutely. But we are there to activate into our lives the things that God puts in our life.
Right.
Yes.
He's like, here you go. Take this. Thanks. I'll put that on the shelf. It's like, yeah, that doesn't work with God. He's like, you have to, you know. And so the other thing, while you were talking, I was thinking, you know, discipleship is infectious. It's like a virus.
It's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be a virus, right? It's supposed to be, it covers the entire earth. And so we just think it's, we're funny when we think about life this way and we think, oh, us doing things intentionally as, you know, no, God's just going to do it. He's going to have his way, his will. No, we have responsibility to bring ourselves. But by the way, we have responsibility to take ourselves away from the idol of this world, the altar of this world, and bring ourselves to the altar of God. It's it may not be such a long walk, by the way. It might be just a turning around.
But it really is.
But it really is. And so a lot of times, I think with the enemy does to some people's souls is they, it's like, hey, you've got so much vested into your idol here.
Isn't that what they did? Gold and silver. Exactly. They brought spent a lot of money, right?
Yes. Oh man.
Like, you don't want to turn away now from this. This is a good gig.
Those goldsmiths in you know, Ephesus when Paul is preaching, we're going to put us out of business here.
We're
not going to be able to build know, silver Dianas anymore.
Right.
So, but Wonder Woman. We do that in our But we do that in our hearts. We vest so much of our affections and things into areas that I think a lot of times that's why it's hard for people to turn away from certain things.
Right.
The sunk costs.
Oh yeah. Like hey, it becomes that's who I am,
right?
Rather than that's what I'm doing.
Because isn't that? But that's what an idol does. The one that makes an idol becomes like the idol,
right?
Right.
So anything that you invest in, you're going to transform into.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anything that mesmerizes you, will mold you, right?
Yes.
So, right.
It's what you look on.
Yeah.
I was looking up. I just was looking up a word, like the positive connotation of infection, which obviously it has a negative connotation in our in our society. Unless you correlate it to another word, like Pastor Bob has an infectious laugh, right? When he laughs, all of a sudden you just kind of want to laugh with him, right? But you could say it that way of some of the fruit of the spirit, like love, joy, peace. Like those are infectious characteristics of God, and they're meant to have an infectious impact on us. So the other word you could say is infuse. Because that is the description of, it's like inserting a substance into another thing.
Yeah,
medicine.
And so I was thinking of it as Holy Spirit because, you know, we need to be infused with the Spirit, right? We were exhorted to be filled with the Spirit, right? To be full. You know, it's not just the one-time reception of Holy Spirit where he comes and he lives within your spirit. That's wonderful. But then continually when we let our heart door open to the Spirit of God, we can be filled with the things of God. And it does both things. It infuses us with strength, power, joy, and it also, I'll say, diffuses or it cleanses out the infectious types things, the things that are also trying to get in, the contagions that are trying to get in,
contaminants.
The contaminants. Yeah. It keeps them out, but it infuses us with health and life. And like, that's what God does. It's amazing how he can filter That's why we can be in this world and not of it,
right?
Where it doesn't have any effect on us. David was speaking to this. We actually had lunch, you know, a week or so ago and talked about this, how it does change. Things change. Like affections for me, like to play basketball or to lift weights or how many times I go do jiu-jitsu class and all this stuff. Like it became, the way I would describe it was like in full-blown HD, like IMAX color. It was all consuming. Right.
Yes.
When these things are happening, it's like all you think about, it's all you want to go do. Mm-hmm. It's like you live for this thing.
Yeah.
That's the height of its affection. And if I'm not careful, you know, what we're talking about, it can go into an idol
easily.
Place.
Yeah.
But then what happens is that it became like it lost its resolution. It became less high def and all consuming. Mm-hmm. It kind of dwindled down to like just a little tiny black and white TV. Where it was like still a part of my life, but it wasn't everything.
Right.
But when you look at him, you kept talking about like beholding his beauty. Like we're image bearers. Like we're meant to look at imagery, and he himself is the greatest of images we could ever vie to look at. Mm-hmm. And I know we're in this natural life, so we're like, really, Jeremiah, you're looking at God, you can see him, you're crazy. Like, no, but yes.
Yes.
Because we see him. Because we are spirit and he's spirit. And so our spirit, wow, okay, I'm coming into something. Our spirit, our spirit sees him. Our spirit can behold him. Like we may not see him with our natural eyes, but our spirit man can. Mm-hmm. And it can commune with him and can talk with him and we can be face to face. Like that's real.
Yeah.
That's a reality when you come to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like a, you know, some sort of strange experience. I mean, I have had an experience one time. I don't talk about this very much, but where I was studying the presence of God and came to understand that presence meant face. Mm-hmm. And I was lying in my bed one night and just out of nowhere, I didn't ask for this. I was praying a little bit and maybe speaking, you know, praying in tongues. And I felt a face come down out of the ceiling, like a giant face as big as the room, come down nose to nose. And I was like, I couldn't move, and it wasn't a evil, dark, weird entity. It was God. Mm-hmm. Now, there was no definition, but it was like the silhouette of a face came down, and he's like, "That's presence." And I went, "Whoa, you're too close," right. And I'm undone. I'm unclean. Like that's all I was starting to think. So he wants to dwell with us face to face, and our spirit can actually do that. I don't know. I'm just getting blown away by this right now.
Someday we will know face to face physically.
Yeah.
Woo.
Even as we are known.
Yes.
Well, I think there's also a component of this. So it's not just like we can, when we speak about spiritual things like that, a lot of people will be like, that's kind of ethereal.
Sure.
And I don't know. How does that tangent become tangible in my life? Mm-hmm. You know? And here's a way. When you're speaking to God and you're communing with him spirit to spirit, what's going to come out of you physically, actually, the way you you mentioned an infectious laugh.
Yeah.
Or what about an infectious smile? Mm-hmm. Or
Jason Baz.
Yes. Or, oh, yes. Yeah. Or I love that doing kid, names.
Yeah.
Or an infection, because of your affection, you're showing kindness to someone.
Right.
Like it's taking tangible, it's coming out into the world in a tangible way.
Wow.
Right. And so what about, I know people go, oh, random acts of kindness, but are they really, you can do random acts, but are you doing spirit led acts of kindness?
And
then you notice like someone's like really touched by that.
Right.
Like, and so, and it can come in the craziest way. My wife and I were in North Carolina. We were at a restaurant eating breakfast one morning.
Cracker Barrel.
It was Cracker Barrel.
Before the logo changed.
Before the logo changed.
It was a holy place
still.
There is a distinction. Old logo, not eating there. New logo? Okay, we can go.
I love it. You guys are nuts.
Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, no, we were just sitting there and fellowshipping and our waitress was there. We talked to her a little bit and I prayed with her some because she had some things. She was, a Christian woman, but she was suffering some things in her soul as well as physical body and family, things like that. Mm-hmm. Somebody just happened to see this or hear it. I don't know. I don't know who it was. But, so we're getting ready to leave and I go, can I have the check? And the lady goes, She goes in her Southern. She goes, you're about to experience some Southern hospitality. She said, somebody paid for your for your breakfast. And I'm like, really? Why? They go, I don't know. They just heard you.
Yeah.
And so they it really affected my wife. And I was like, really? Like someone would do that just out of the blue?
Wow.
You know, and I mean, I didn't need it to be paid for. You know, it wasn't, you know, like I was down my last dime or anything like that. But it so affected my soul.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought, wow, that was really kind of somebody to do that. Mm. And so those are physical, tangible things.
Yes.
That's one thing. And maybe you're not going to pay for that. Maybe you're going to buy me a car. No. but the reality is how you address somebody with kindness.
Yeah.
How you open the door for them, how you love on them.
Yeah.
How how you just smile at them, how you care for their life.
That's so good.
You know, those are real things. And that is part of the infection of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's coming, that's manifesting outwardly into our life. Yeah. It's supposed to, and he's supposed to have, like I say, a tangible impact on the things around us, including ourselves.
I love
including
it.
Ourselves.
That's the positive part of the title.
Oh, yeah.
Is that our affections on him
will
be infectious to those around us.
The light. The light shines and the darkness cannot overcome that.
Right.
You know, it says the light enlightens every man.
Mm.
Yeah.
Think about that. Mm-hmm. You know, think about Jesus going down into the underworld. There were one light of darkness drove it all out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, could not be overcome. That light is in us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what it means to overcome the world is like, it looks like there's gross darkness, you know? And it is a powerful, it's horrible stuff, but the light in us, greater is he in us than the one that's in the world.
Yes.
If our heart fully belongs to him, we can beat back the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's going to shine in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like, oh, the light's over here and the darkness is over here.
Right.
It says the light shines in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's going to cast the darkness out.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can be filled with the knowledge of his will, having the eyes of our heart opened.
Yes.
This being renewed in the spirit of our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird? There's a little bridge between the spirit and the mind, the spirit and the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the noose in some theology, where it allows the light of the spirit to come into the soul.
Mm-hmm.
It's that bridge, you know, and we pray, God, open that. Like, show me who you really are so I can see in my spirit and I can perceive in my soul.
Right.
I can feel in my body. I can minister to my neighbor, you know?
Right.
And where do, you know, and for me, I just look and I say, where am I breaking that chain? You know, like where's the little kink? Where's the kink in the hose? Because it's on my end. You know, it's not that God is not light. It's not that the Holy Spirit's not flowing waters. He's coming. I'm restricted in my affections. That's such a powerful scripture from 2 Corinthians 6.
Right.
And you just go, where am I shutting off the valve here?
Right.
You know, where am I afraid of intimacy with God? You're too close face to face.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I afraid of being vulnerable with somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I afraid to put the gospel on display in the culture, in my workplace?
Right.
You know, where am I interrupting the flow? You know, because it's like that shining affection is meant to be contagious.
Yeah.
So, you know, where are we putting the tourniquet on? You know, it's supposed to be, you know,
right.
Just going out. But there's so many strategies. The enemy does not, you know,
right.
I'm not going to just blame the devil because I think a lot of it's our flesh and our fear. And
sure, we're drawn away
but
of our own.
There's a strategy of darkness to be like, dude, we can't, you know, keep the lid sealed here.
You know, I'm going to help somebody with that because I feel the same thing. I feel like right now, actually, there's someone that's thinking about that. Like it's been stuck. You know, they can't do it externally. They can hardly do it internally. They're stuck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just heard the Lord say that, if you set right now, if you just set your affections on me, just set your, and I just, I all of a sudden I remember the times when I'm having a rough time in life and something in my, and for no special reason, I actually responded to a little bit of the wooing of the Holy Spirit of God, you know, like right now, so he's wooing someone and he's like calling them. And if you would just turn and set your affection, you know, put everything else out of your brain for a moment and just set your affections on him. Let him know your love for him, not what you think your love is,
right?
What your love actually is.
Yeah.
And just let him know your love. And you will be amazed all of a sudden that connection, you know, that whole, that flow, that knot gets untied instantly because he's that kind of father. Yeah. Like he so loves you that he wants you to be, he wants you to enter in that place. And he's given every one of us the license and ability to do this thing instantly, right on the spot. It doesn't take, you know, you might feel like, well, I've got to do a whole bunch of things. I got to make a whole bunch of things right that were wrong. I got to do. No, the only thing you need to do sitting right there, right now, or maybe driving in your car. What's that?
It's finished.
It's finished. Everything yes. You just need to like start loving him right now. Just start loving him. But however that looks in you, I'm not going to tell you what it looks like in me and and taint the way your love is for him. I'm saying your affection for him, you put that on display. Mm-hmm. Not Beautiful. To me, not to the people around you, to him.
To him.
Yep. And see how he just draws you into his heart.
It's so beautiful. Like, it just made me think, like, have you ever been in that awkward moment where you're like, someone's like, hey, you know, I care about you or I love you. And you're like, yeah, okay. And they're like, no, listen to me.
Right.
And you like, you take a minute and look at them.
Yeah.
And they're like, I really mean that.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, cause like a lot of people go, yeah, I know God loves me and I'm doing my best to love God. And it's like, that's what we do a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And we don't just let God go, hey, listen, like you're turning towards me and I never moved. I never turned away from you.
Right.
I'm looking into your eyes and I'm just saying, I love you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you.
Uh-huh.
And let it mean something. Let it cut you.
Yeah.
And like Bob said, you might need to take a minute.
Right.
And it might take you a minute to feel that because the enemy's going to be throwing up a few shields, you know, and you're going to be throwing up a few defense mechanisms. You're going to be saying, well, not me, not till I do this, not till that, you know, or I already know that. You might be fast forwarding. I already know. What am I supposed to do? You know, don't fast forward it.
Right.
And just go, whoa, okay. And let the Holy Spirit flow the love of God, shed it abroad in your heart.
Yeah.
And it could be a little awkward feeling, you know? And then what if we started treating people that way?
Yeah.
Wouldn't his affection for us, our face-to-face with him,
right?
Wouldn't it become face-to-face with our brother, with our sister?
Yeah.
We go, I just want you to know, Jeremiah, I want you to know, I love you, man. I really do.
You say that all the time.
Yeah. I don't say it enough. I love you, Bob.
I appreciate it. I know that. David.
And I'm not saying it. I'm trying to be like, you know, like we even think like, oh, it's a little weird. It's like I feel weird saying it, you know, but like I need to break through that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I need to really show people the heart that's in me.
That's good.
For people.
That's good.
Instead of just like, they probably don't want me to make it weird.
Right.
Well, then you're not going to spread much of an infection.
I love that, Dave. I endorse that, and I just offer the scripture that says he gave us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And so we do have the ability to open the door, and it's that simple.
Yes.
We just turn. And I even wanted to just add to what you both were saying and really prophesying to everybody listening that the Lord knows, even though our affections or our emotions are not set on him or you know, fully surrendered to him, I should say. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is turn and open our heart to him.
Amen.
And the Spirit is there. That bridge you were talking about there, David, I was like, oh, wow, that's so powerful because light travels so fast. Right? This light travels so extremely fast. We're seeing stars that are millions of miles away, but we still see them. It's crazy how fast. I mean, but that's also inside of you. Like the light of his glory is in you. And all you have to do is just open the door a little bit in your heart to him. I'll tell one quick testimony. This Lord literally did this to my life. There was a period of time where I was very hard toward the Lord. I was not affectionate towards his people. I didn't really care. I was very, very indifferent. Sound familiar? Yes, I know. That was yesterday.
yesterday is dead and gone.
but what happened was I got a phone call from my dad, my actual dad, wonderful man of God, great pastor. And so he called me one day and he knew I was going through some stuff. And he just said, hey, so-and-so, you know, really, you know, aren't you concerned about them at all? And I was kind of like, what does it have to do with me? Like, why are you telling me this? I hung up the phone and I realized something. I'm so hard to the Lord. I'm so closed off to him. And then the question was, how did I get like this? Because I knew better, not better as in doing what's right, better as in I'm not, this isn't who I am. And so if you have this sense of like, you're in this hard place, and it's not who you are. And you're having that realization that like, man, this is not who I am. I don't know how I got here. I don't know why I'm so hardened right now. I don't know why I don't care. Where's my, just my basic humanity. Where did that go? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm very calloused. I'm hurt. I'm in pain. Mm-hmm. Even in that moment, there was like this pinhole of light that cut through that hard shell that was over my life. And that pinhole was the light of God.
Yeah.
And that's all he needed. I mean, if you take a thumbtack and you stick it through a piece of paper and you hold it up to the light, that much, that's all he needs. And he comes in like a bolt of lightning. Mm-hmm. And he totally just melted my heart down and began to change me in that moment. I was about 20 years old. And he just changed me. And I didn't want to be like that. But then he showed me a path how to get from there back to him. And then he changed everything that was hard. He softened.
Yeah.
Everything that was calloused, he cleaned and he made it like new flesh.
Amazing.
And so I know that God can do that for you today. And the heart of God has just been wooing and wooing the whole episode. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to offer that addition to what you guys were sharing so powerfully.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much. I just want to say thank you to both of you guys. Like you've actually ministered to me sitting here. And I know to those who will be listening.
I guess me too.
Yeah.
We love you, Pastor David. You
definitely.
All of you, even your humor. Yeah.
Thanks.
But but I don't want people to, you know, forget what you heard. You heard hearts and affection, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you had actually heard the affection of the Lord for you.
Yeah.
And so as we end today, I something that's just on my heart is we gave you examples of maybe how to turn to God and take care of this. It's not that complicated. Right. And the thing that the Lord spoke to my heart was, well, what have you got to lose? Mm. So what have you got to lose? Mm. God bless you. And we pray that you find him. Thank you for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to get the latest episode. And for more information, go to spiritschoolofministry.com.